So I just like you to have a conversation in a small group or a pair of you about who comes into your home. I'll just give you a couple of minutes. Children, join in, please. And how do people feel when they come to your home? That's the next bit. Who comes to your home and how do they feel when they come to your home or when they leave? Have a little conversation. Conversation afterwards over coffee when you stay. I expect there'll be some humorous comments as well. Can we have the PowerPoint, please? Okay. I've mentioned already in the service that over the next 11 weeks, we're going to be thinking about one aspect to do with handing on the eternal flame. Okay, passing on that message of Jesus. This is a year of outreach, reaching out to people and talking with them and listening to them and sharing with them those things that are really important to us. And we're going to focus in on the word hospitality. But hospitality is more than a word. It's to do with attitudes, it's to do with events, it's to do with doing things together. And we're focusing in on the practical ways that we can share our love for God with other people. And this is hopefully going to help us and stimulate us and equip us, not just for the rest of our lives, but for the 17 days of Olympic outreach. Some of you might be going into your borough for that. Well, I don't think that's where you should be. And the 12 days of the Paralympic outreach. It's a small time. We will hopefully have a legacy of wanting to reach out and practical examples of what to do. So today we're going to take the letter H. And my thoughts are based really on the chapters we've already been looking at in John's Gospel, chapters 11 and 12, which I recommend that you do read. And we'll be focusing in on one of those again tonight, the incident of the anointing. We've been saying that the eternal flame is, of course, Jesus Christ. It's not an idea. It's not a pin badge or anything like that, but actually passing on the Lord Jesus, the light of the world. And as we think about showing hospitality, we're talking about offering welcome to people, food and shelter. And this is central to demonstrating the love of God. One of the reasons I began to get interested in the Christian message is because as a teenager, I experienced Christians demonstrating community hospitality, both in their homes and in church buildings. Now, I came from a loving, warm, hospitable home, but I was fascinated to see people who were so different joining together and offering hospitality. I found it very attractive, and I wanted to be a part of what was going on. And it's in that very same spirit that we're actually offering a cafe during a time when people are away from home, when they're strangers in a strange place. And hospitality means love of stranger. Hospitality is not just to do with loving the people who are like us or who share our values. And there's a very famous verse about hospitality that we're going to learn. It's all memory verses. This is your third one of the year. And in the chapter Hebrews 13 that talks about hospitality, the very first verse says that we are to love our fellow Christians. Well, that's pretty tough at times to do. But verse 2 is our memory verse. Taking account that you are to love your fellow Christians, we're also to remember to welcome strangers in your homes. There are some who did that and welcomed angels without knowing. Kubi, if you're in pain, come up and I'll pray for you, okay? Okay? You're distracting my thought. You're so good looking, I'm looking straight at you, okay? Remember to welcome strangers in your homes. There are some who did that and welcomed angels without knowing. So let's learn that together. Let's read it first. Remember to welcome strangers in your homes. There are some who did that and welcomed angels without knowing. And of course, we've got a very good example with Abraham and Sarah and people like that. But messengers that God sent were welcomed, even if the people didn't realize they were actually doing that. And it comes from Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2. Let's say it once more, and then this is the one that we'll refer to in the weeks ahead. Remember to welcome strangers in your homes. There are some who did that and welcomed angels without knowing. Well done. Okay. The suggestion is, of course, is that it's easier to welcome people who are like us than people who are different. Some time ago, we talked about sofas. You'll see one of the names suggested for the cafe, and this is your last chance today to write up suggestions, is SOFA. Who can remember what the acronym, you have to put your hand up, the acronym SOFA means as regards hospitality, Anne?
Strangers, outsiders,
well done, you should have a prize. Excellent. You can wash up for mum today. What a lovely prize. Okay. Hospitality is all to do with welcoming those who may be different to us. Okay? And that's the acronym that you can remember. Everyone in the church is involved with welcoming strangers. But leaders are told they should not be leaders and welcome people. Now, don't point a finger at the leaders. It's not just the leaders who are obviously meant to set a good example, but leaders of small groups, leaders of prayer cells, leaders of children's groups, and in fact, everyone. Because people forget, remember to welcome strangers. Now, it's a bit dodgy today, and those of you that are cautious are going to say, whoa, you've got to be very careful. And of course you have, but I'm taking the fact that you're intelligent, and we can talk about some of the limitations. Today's practical way of reaching out in this intergenerational service, this all-age service where people of all ages are, the practical way of reaching out and handing on the eternal flame is to show hospitality to all, both in our homes and in our churches. It is important that we show hospitality. You can preach a wonderful sermon, and if the church is not hospitable, people have every right in saying the message is not true. You can go to church as often as you want, but if you are not hospitable when your neighbour knocks on the door, they will not listen to the message, I suggest, unless they write you off as one of the nutty religious cranks. The way we behave affects how the message is received. And it isn't always easy, is it? Our day off on Friday, I was in the shower, I could hear the doorbell going and going and going, and a long, long conversation. So I let Jeff go, and a long, long conversation, at the end of which I have a letter with work I have to do. This morning, I'm just preparing for the service, again the doorbell goes, and a long, long conversation going on and on and on and on and on. And I'm thinking, I'm writing about hospitality, and I'm just wishing this person would leave the front door. And I'm sure Jeff was, but he was gracious, because he's much more gracious than I am. Just left him to it, with in my ear trying to concentrate. Hospitality is not always easy. The household and how we host guests is vital, though, to demonstrating the love of God. Why? Well, because hospitality meets a basic human need. And Jesus came to meet a basic human need. That's why he came. Because we needed to be helped and rescued and saved from ourselves. And there is a basic human need for companionship, for food, and for shelter. Those are basic human needs. There are a lot of other things people say are needs, but they're not essential. They're not essential to being a full human being. You know, Jesus himself, once he began his public life of reaching out, had no permanent bed. Jesus didn't have his own bedroom and his lovely duvet and nicely painted walls and his clothes ready to put on in the morning. He didn't have a permanent place to call his own. But friends and hospitality were essential to Jesus.
And we've been thinking about how Jesus spent the last weeks before his arrest and his crucifixion, haven't we? The things that's happened. Liz has very powerfully helped us to smell lovely perfume and see furniture turned upside down. And we know that Jesus spent his time in prayer and in struggling and in teaching his disciples. But Jesus also spent time in two households, at least in a place called Bethany. And Bethany was located in Judea, and that was an increasingly dangerous place for Jesus because it was so close to Jerusalem. It was just 3 clicks from Jerusalem, not even 2 miles. And the household he particularly chose to be in was that of a brother and 2 sisters. Whenever I think of this, I remember Joan and pray for her, and I think of Don and Pat, because it was a brother and 2 sisters. And households are so different, aren't they? They're not all mum, dad, 2 children. Sometimes it's mum and children. Sometimes it's grandma and children. And sometimes it's brothers and sisters. Sometimes it's multiple occupancy. There's 3 or 4 people there, and you hope they're not going to steal your food in the fridge before you get back home. You know, and sometimes it's really good experience, positive, an intentional community, like Mikhail's in, 4 people here to witness to Jesus and work with the churches. There's all sorts of households. Sometimes it's 1 person, and 1 out of 3 households in London is a single person household. So there's all types of households, aren't there? There's all types of groups of people. They're not all the same. So when you're feeling green and envious of other people, remember, you know, households are all quite different. And Jesus went to a house with Lazarus, Mary, and Martha. And his relationship with this family was one of friendship, loving friendship. They were his beloved friends. I just love the description of Jesus in this house that comes in chapter 11. The sisters sent Jesus a message. Lord, your dear friend is ill. So when Lazarus became ill, they got in touch with Jesus. And we read in verse 5, Jesus loved Martha and her sister, that's Mary, and Lazarus. He loved these people. They were real friends of his. And friendship, the Greeks thought, was more powerful even than erotic love. Friendship is a very powerful thing. And while he was in Bethany, sometimes he visited the home of a man called Simon the leper. He had acne really badly, like mega bad zits. And he visited Lazarus, who had been unclean at one point. The leper, a dreaded skin condition. And sometimes Mary came to help at the house and so on. And 2 days before the festival of Passover, Jesus was actually anointed there, the lovely perfume. We've been thinking about that. And that man, Lazarus, who was a friend of Jesus, he became famous, didn't he? Not for anything he did. Became famous for dying. Not because he had an amazing personality, but he became famous because Jesus did an amazing miracle and raised Lazarus from the dead. Some people think, you know, that Lazarus pretended to be ill, got all wrapped up in cloth, and they hid him in a tomb and left him there for 4 days. Bit crazy, wasn't it? Jesus loved him, and he wept at Lazarus's death. And about 6 days before Passover, that special festival, Jesus travels back to Judea, the dangerous place. Would you go to a dangerous place? Probably not, unless you felt that's where God wanted you to go. So every time Becky goes to Nigeria, Gwasan gets panicky and starts praying more than ever. And when her dad's there, they think, well, maybe it's more dangerous there. Okay? But Jesus travels back to Judea. And when the authorities are getting more and more jealous and they're starting to say, we've got to put that light out. We've got to destroy Jesus. And the crowds come because Lazarus has been raised. So the crowds come to see what is happening. Who's this Jesus that can raise the dead? And it's on his trip from Bethany and Bethphage towards the Mount of Olives that the crowds build up. Not just the crowds that had gone to see Lazarus, but the crowds that had come to Jerusalem for Passover. And the crowds got bigger and bigger and bigger. And some knew who Jesus was, that he could raise the dead. And others didn't know who he was. And they were saying, this is the prophet. And they're shouting out, Hosanna, could this be the one we've waited for? And so the crowd grows and grows and grows. You know, we're thinking about hospitality in homes. And Jesus drew strength from his relationship with God and the Spirit, but also from his friendships and the home where he was welcome. You know, we don't hear anything about Lazarus, Mary, Martha, whether they were married. You don't have to be married to be fulfilled. Many married people are not fulfilled. Lazarus, Mary, and Martha was a home Jesus wanted to go to. We don't hear there were even children there, which is interesting. I don't think it was a wealthy home. Why do I say that? Well, because Mary and Martha did most of the work. We don't hear of any servants. It wasn't a large household. We do hear once Martha complained because it all got too much. So, you might see this picture. You might know somebody if you look carefully. There, in the shadows. Who do you think that is?
You.
No, it's a man. I've never looked like that. not unless it's me with the holy glow in the doorway.
Stephen.
Oh, thank you. That's Stephen. Just friends together. Here's the question. Who comes? This time last year, we were just about getting ready to come back. Who comes to your house? Okay, who's going to start off? Yes. Back without that dog. Who comes to your house, Amanda?
Lots of mums.
Lots of mums.
Lots of children birthday parties.
Children.
And a whole pile of mixed church and non-church people for my husband's
birthday. I had a birthday party. That was really nice, wasn't it? You had a real mixture of people there. You know some odd people there. I was there. Who comes to your home?
Yeah.
Anybody ever come to get their hair done?
Oh, yeah.
People come to get their hair done.
I go to them most times, but yeah.
Or you go to them if you can, because otherwise if you come in a Mecca and you think, oh, no, not two children, I need to study, I want my food, and there's somebody having their hair done.
And if he's cracking hair or other.
Who comes to your house, David?
Yes.
Your carer?
Tuesday and Friday.
Tuesdays and Fridays. How do you think they feel when they leave you? Are they pleased to have been? Your carers come, that's brilliant. Anybody else who comes to your house? Mary, who comes to your house?
Well, Sarah.
Are you in lead sometimes when they go?
Yes.
Right. They wake you up. Well, that might be good. Anybody else who comes to your house? Can you think of anybody else? Who?
Nathan.
Is he a friend of yours? Who's that? I've met Nathan, haven't I?
Yes,
I have met Nathan. Anybody else? Addy, who comes to your house?
My friends, clients.
Your friends, your clients, all sorts of people. All sorts of people. Amanda?
The milkman and the postman.
The milkman and the postman. You still have a milkman. That's amazing.
They all chat to Zoe.
They all chat to Zoe. All right. How do people feel when you... when they leave your house, how do you feel? We've said a mixture of things. Sometimes we're relieved. Sometimes we hope they come again. Some people are happy. Some people are not. Some of us don't like people coming to our house because it's our little space. Some of us would like more people to come to our house. We remember the days when our house was full of people. But the people that come to your house perhaps should experience something of the love of God. And that isn't always easy. In the time of Jesus, households often meant more than family. Like our households, they were the place where people lived. Some were wealthy and had servants, some didn't. Often people lived and worked there. They were live-work units. There was variety. Perhaps not quite as much as in a modern city. We have many different types of homes about us. But the house and the household is important. Most early churches, most churches in the Bible, started up in people's houses, didn't they? They were in Greco-Roman houses. Paul writes this, "My host Gaius, in whose house the church meets." And there were loads of houses where churches met. Priscilla and Aquila had a house in which the church met. Sometimes people want to come in and we won't let them in. Sometimes that's the right thing to do, but sometimes, in a way, God has sent someone that needs to come in. It's almost like Jesus trying to come into our house, and we're not too sure about that. There's all sorts of ways of being household. Aquila and Priscilla had a house in which a church met. Sometimes whole household believed and were baptized. Luke says the household is central to passing on the message, not just public sermons, but how people are treated in people's homes. So the early church was noted, oh, they break bread together in one another's homes. They eat together. They are friends. I suggest that the message spreads more strongly and powerfully when people open up their homes to other people. And if people close down their houses and say, we'll build lovely church buildings where we meet other people an hour and a half a week, the message is less likely to spread. The house and our contact with other people is the most practical way of sharing the message. And add to that our workplace, which often for some people is their home, all sorts of things can happen. We are to be hospitable without complaining. And that isn't always easy. The gospel is about meeting the essential human need to know the love of God. That's to strangers, outsiders, foreigners, and aliens. Gospel also tells us not to be silly with strangers and to believe everything they say. Some people do that. But essentially, we are to be hospitable. A reminder to us. How do you feel about that? Jesus began the toughest journey of his life from a home. He went to be with his friends in Bethany. Being with friends is important to all of us, whatever our age. Depression of the elderly is one of the worst conditions that happens in our society because of the way society is and so on. Bullying of the elderly is another major problem. But people need to be with friends. I put a sofa up. It's a lovely sofa, isn't it? It's a wonderful sofa taken in a showroom. Jesus was willing to show his need of hospitality and accept it from others. What about you? Will you accept other people's invitations of hospitality? How wonderful if somebody who is a stranger to you invites you into their home. Those of you that are parents will know one of the toughest things is inviting some school friends to parties who never come. Keep asking them. And when they ask you, go. especially if it's somebody who's different from you. That's all I've got to say. Remember to show hospitality, to welcome strangers. In that way, some have welcomed angels without knowing it. Thank you, Liz.